Boom. Athletics High Performance Podcast. Providing you with the performance training, college scholarships, coaching education, and elite athletic development. Now, your host. Seth Boomsma.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Boom Athletics High Performance Podcast. Your host, Seth Boomsma, here once again. It has been a while since we've done a pod, and I had to bring it back. The fall was busy. Volleyball, football, cross country, soccer, every sport possibly going on, and a lot of our athletes are competing in those sports. So it was fun to sit back, watch these athletes compete, win a couple state championships, and do very well in their sports. But we had to bring the podcast back, and our first two guests here are Blake Thompson and Reese Kirschman from T here in South Dakota. Both of these guys play football. Blake is committed to Northwestern College in Iowa to play football, and Reese is committed to SDSU to play football there. And both these two guys I've grown really close to over the past year, really, and see them evolve as not only athletes but also people, and see them grow and develop. And it's been fun to kind of see them in the gym and work hard, and now being able to sit down and talk in a podcast with these two guys is really fun, and I think you guys will really enjoy this podcast. We touch a lot on their athletic journeys, their comebacks from injuries, their all-state performances, and everything in between. I hope you guys really enjoy this podcast as we bring the Boom Athletics High Performance Podcast back, and let's dive into this. So these guys are going to give a quick background and a little bit of voice recognition, so who wants to go first?
I can. So my name is Reese Kirschman. I've grown up in T all my life, and I've lived here. And yeah, so I've been playing football for like 12 years, I'd say. And you know, I just loved every minute of it. I'm gonna be committing, or I already committed to play football at SDSU next year. And you know, I just loved living in T ever since. I played basketball and football, so.
My name is Blake Thompson, and I was born in Watertown. I lived there for 2.5 years, and I moved down to T, and I've lived here since. And I committed to play Northwestern out in Iowa, so I'm excited for that. And I play basketball and I run track, and yeah.
Perfect. So that's a quick little background for these two guys, and both of them are not only phenomenal athletes, but if they're on the podcast, I obviously think the world of them as well. And we had a couple of their old teammates, Kayla London and Clayton Sattler, here this summer on the pod as well. So why don't we dive a little bit deeper into your guys' kind of journeys throughout high school. I want to touch really on the accomplishments that you guys had on the football field this year. Obviously, Reese, you kind of were a little bit banged up, but you still got to play some of the season. So, Blake, why don't you go first, kind of just talking about your comeback journey from last year and how you approached this year.
Yeah, so last year I got hurt week 7, week 8, and I was out for the rest of my junior year, so I kind of put my head down. I was sad and stuff, but I put my head down and I got to work all upper body, and I just knew that if I kept working, then it would come out in a good favor. So I just kept my head down, kept working, and I had a good season because of that. And it all started in Boom Athletics. So
yeah, I mean, like, I remember going back, you know, early November, probably late October, when Kale's family sent you and your dad over here. And I remember the first time we had our first encounter, I obviously like heard about you and like watched you play a little bit throughout basketball and football, just because of the other athletes that I had worked with that played against you. And I remember how down you were and how quiet you were, and like it's the complete opposite of what I know from you now. But I remember, you know, like, we kind of developed a game plan. Your dad mapped out a lot of different stuff, which helped me a lot, too. You went through the cast, the boot process, and then into your comeback trail. I mean, if South Dakota offered a comeback player of the year, you're that guy. So what was that process like for you, just really trying to get back to that point of not only just being healthy, but overcoming mentally what you had to go through?
Yeah. The biggest thing was just being around my friends and being around like you in the lab and just stuff like that. Like sitting at home, being by myself, made me think more about the injury, not being able to do things. And so I found a love for becoming better in the weight room, becoming stronger, because I was small. I was 130 pounds after surgery, so I put on 25 pounds, and I wanted, once I got hurt, I'm like, I want to play college football. So I started putting on weight. I knew I had to get better, and just doing those things, just it kept my mind out of the injury. So that was probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and we'll circle back to a lot of this as well, but I want to touch a little bit on Reese and kind of what his journey was like, because he kind of had a similar experience this year going through his injury with his forearm. Reese, take us a lot through your high school football journey and then kind of what led to that forearm injury and then how you came back from that and clubbed it up.
Yeah, so freshman year was kind of like the scout year for me. I played a lot of special teams and just got the basic reps on scout and special teams for games. And then sophomore year was kind of the year that really turned it up when I started practicing against Caden Ellingston. And then he became a USD commit. And when I was practicing against him, I was really giving him some good looks. And then when I would translate to games and like the JV games, because I didn't play much my sophomore year, I was like a backup defensive end on varsity, but I mainly played JV. And when I translated it to games, it was just so, like, the games were easier than practice because I've been playing Division I players in practice. So that helped a lot with my sophomore year. But then my junior year, we lost a lot of seniors. So I felt like I had to step it up on the defensive end because we lost a lot of our big dudes on the defensive line. So, you know, I worked hard. We went at it junior year. It was a great group of guys, great group of seniors. We didn't come out on top like we like to. And then I just worked my tail off, you know. I didn't like that feeling. I felt it for a while. So I just was in the gym all summer, you know. I was playing summer basketball at the same time that I was going to camps all over the Midwest. And then, you know, football started, and that was like, it was like the highlight of my life. Like, all the work is coming down to this. So, yeah, and then we got, two games into the season. I had a rough first game, but then the second game I just came back and had a bunch of tackles and sacks. And then it was the third game. It was a big game. Like, everyone was giving their all on it, obviously, against O'Gorman. You know, it was a rainy game, just going out there giving it my all. And then right before halftime, linebacker filled the hole at the same time I had him wrapped up and broke my arm, and I heard it break. I knew it was broken, but I just didn't want to believe it. It really, it really took a toll on me mentally, just because all the work that I put into it, I thought my season had ended. But then, you know, we got through it, got to the doctor, broke both bones in my arm, got surgery like the next couple days, and then recovered from there. It was a really quick recovery. Got back in 5 weeks, I think. So it was definitely something.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, you guys both had screws put in. Mm-hmm. Blake had screws put in his foot. Reese, screws put in his arm. How many screws did you guys both have put in?
I've got 4 screws in my foot. I got 3 going, like, I don't know really how to describe it, but 3 are going straight at me, and then one's crossing across all my bones in my foot, so I've got 4 total.
Mm-hmm. The one bone in my arm was fractured, and it was still lined up properly, so they didn't have to do anything to that bone, because when fixing the other one, it was just going to keep it lined up. So on the other bone, they put a plate along the bone and then screwed it in with 8 screws, and they broke a drill bit in my arm and left it in there. So
take us through a little bit of that injury process. I mean, Reese, you just kind of mentioned how it took a toll on you mentally, and Blake, you said a similar thing. What was that process like for you guys in terms of, yeah, we have to get back, we have to develop plans to get back from not only a training perspective but also a rehab perspective and a doctor perspective, but what type of outlook did that give you guys on athletics? Like, did it help you guys appreciate it more?
Yeah, definitely, because, like, this year, every single football game going into it, it's like, you can tell your teammates, play this game like it's your last, but you truly don't know what that means until it happens. So, like, every game this year, I'm sure, like, when you came back from injury, it's like, I'm going my hardest every play. I mean, you should as well, but, like, you just got that mentality that keeps you going.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like, there's a lot of people that say it, but there's nothing like high school football and Friday Night Lights. Like, when you're community, you're playing with the guys you grew up with, there's nothing like it. And, you know, when you can go out there and battle with your guys, it's just one of the best feelings ever. But, yeah, when you get hurt, it just, it sucks, man. Like, you really appreciate the game, you know. Like, for me, it helped me, like, really, like, step aside and, like, help the younger kids and, like, coach them up a little bit because, you know, they're the future of T, and once I'm gone, I can't. I want to leave an imprint here while I'm here, so. Yeah.
That was literally the next question I was going to ask, is how that would help you kind of teach the importance of the being in the now, being in the moment of your high school career. And Reese, you just literally said it, you know, like, being able to help out others rather than just moping in the corner and not helping anybody, feeling sorry for yourself. You're able to be a leader, step up, and help out others. I want to ask you, Blake, how did it help you? Because, I mean, you were obviously in your off season. Yeah. You know, you had to go through the dome experience last year mm-hmm. on the sidelines. How did it help you to kind of teach others the importance of?
Our very first week one free safety, he tore his ACL. So I was the backup free safety, moved from corner to safety. Then I got hurt. So we had a sophomore come in and play free safety. So I knew that I had to take a step up and really help him out. So I mean, right away he was, there were some coverages blown, so I just did my best to keep him on top of the coverages and teach him while he's, I mean, he was learning, so I just helped him out. And then from a mental aspect, like, you learn so much more from watching than you realize. Like, in game you learn stuff too, but you see more when you're watching it from the sideline. Mm-hmm. So that helped a lot.
Right, absolutely. So I think that covers a lot of what I want to touch on with the injury aspect. You know, I don't want to, like, constantly talk about it or harp on it. I want to really talk about your guys' accomplishments because you guys are dudes on the field, too. You know, you got Reese mentioned the O'Gorman game, and I trained a lot of athletes over there as well. Mm-hmm. Blake got two picks on our guy Bennett as well. So take us through not only that game, but kind of the whole season and how it was, especially last year, stepping up to AA football, transitioning to that, and then this year really being another high-level team when everybody kind of counted you guys out for a majority of the season too. So
So last year, when we came into AA, we knew it was just going to be a whole different, it was going to be a whole different fight. The classes are bigger, there's much bigger kids, the line for one is just huge compared to A. So it's just a huge step up, and, you know, we were nervous. Like, I mean, we had confidence. Like, our coach always was telling us, like, you know what, like, we'll play anywhere. Like, that's T's motto. We'll play you anywhere, anytime, we don't care. Like, so we were like, all right, walking into Brookings, playing on the SDSU field. It was cool, so we got a little more hype from that. And then we were just playing out there, you know. We just started balling together. We were trusting each other, and it just, it went great. You know, they had that first touchdown, and then announcers got all cocky saying to welcome to AAT, and then we go on and kick their butt and leave them kind of out of the picture. So that was definitely a big first year, and it gave us a lot of confidence until, you know, the state championship. I think we just had a bit too much confidence going into that, but that was something. But then we came back this year, and we, you know, we had that taste in our mouth. I mean, you can say whole new team, but the senior or the juniors from last year still remember that taste. Like, we gave it our all, and it's still gonna be, we remember it, so it's not going anywhere. But, you know, we fought, gave it our all, but just didn't come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember going into Brookings last year. Those linebackers were just massive. Like, in Class A, I mean, you have big kids, but, like, I remember they lined up four across, and they're all 6'2", 200 pounds, and I've never seen anything like that before. I'm, like, 140 pounds, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. So I remember going into that game, I'm like, and they scored that big touchdown. I remember chasing the ball down. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know how this season's going to go, and then We won, and then I remember our homecoming game against Watertown. We ended up beating them by, like, 40, and from that game on, there was, like, just this confidence that almost helped us through the rest of that year, and then we fell short in the dome. Like Reese said, I think we got a little too far ahead of ourselves. But then this year, we kind of had that target on our back because everybody's, like, they came in, they kicked our butt, so everybody kind of wanted us, so we had to go into every week, you know. playing it as best as we could, and just, you know, we fell short in the end, but I think we had a really good year.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like, for all you guys' accomplishments on the football field, you guys are also hoopers as well. Reese, you mentioned it, how you played summer basketball. Blake played summer basketball as well, pre-injury. What has basketball been like as we prepare for the season? And especially, like, that AAU experience and kind of, like, finding what sport you guys want to pursue long-term.
Yeah, I mean, I was a basketball kid. Like, I wanted to play college basketball up until my injury because I started getting looks after my sophomore season because me and Reese both got some varsity time as sophomores, and I was playing really well in that AAU summer of going into my junior year. And so I had a few NAIA coaches, a few D2 coaches talking to me just a little briefly, nothing much. But so I'm like, all right, I'm pretty interested in this. And then when I got hurt, I realized I'm going to miss my junior season for basketball. So I'm like, I want to focus on football. I found a love for football because that year was just super memorable. And so, yeah, that's kind of how my basketball journey went. I mean, I'm excited for this year, but at the same time, it's nice to know, like, the pressure's almost off because I have my decision made for college, so we can focus on winning games and just having fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's, like, a huge thing. Like, no pressure for anything, any sport, really. When you don't have any pressure, you just kind of flow and you play better. But I've been playing basketball and football all year round since I can remember, like, 12 years ago. It's just been a while. And, you know, I've loved both all the way up until probably freshman year was when they kind of started to separate. Football, like, I love it. I've always loved it. It's pretty much, like, all I want to do the rest of my life. Well, as, like, now, I guess. But, yeah, and I played basketball, and I can do stuff on basketball, but I just feel my ceiling is a lot higher in football because I'm a 5, and I put time in the gym, but I still can't shoot, so I don't know.
You're a horse, though.
Yeah, it's true. I like to use strength over skill, so football or basketball sometimes turns into a little bit of football, but...
That's so true.
Football is definitely my sport.
Yeah. So, Blake, you mentioned how going through the recruiting process a little bit, entering your junior year. I want to ask both of you guys, like, what that recruiting process was like, because, I mean, both of you guys had completely different journeys, especially entering your senior year. What was it like for you guys, and what ultimately led to the decision to Blake go to Northwestern and Reese go to SDSU?
So my recruiting process, I want to say started after sophomore year, so probably that summer going into junior year. That's really when I decided to take football to the next step and started to get really serious about it, and After that year, I sent my film out, started to get some attention from D2 schools and a couple NII schools, and it got quiet towards basketball season and after basketball season, but it didn't really do much until the junior year. And once I started playing that junior year, I started getting the attention of, like, SDSU and NDSU and Iowa State. And then I started, like, going on all of these junior days. I didn't get any junior day invites from Division II schools. I don't know if that's because they can't do it or what, but I didn't get any invites. So I was like, okay, like, I could probably go to the next level if I really tried for it. So then I went to those, just sought out all the facilities, you know, and both my parents went to SDSU, so I've loved that school ever since I was born. And, you know, yeah, so I just went to the junior days, finished out my junior year, and then this last summer, man, it was a grind. I went to camps all over. Actually, it all started at the Riggs Combine. That was when it really started. That's when I picked up my first offer. It was a good combine, but at the same time, it was bad, you know. I tested good in some, but then in my pro agility, which was what we had been working here at the lab, you know, doing that probably every time I was in here, because that's, like, a really good mastery thing is when you can change direction. So I blew both of those because I, what I do, I think I touched down or something. I blew them. Mm-hmm. And I was just so down. But then afterwards, Coach Skolton came up to me and he offered me a scholarship, and that's just where it really started. So after that, gave me all the motivation in the world, started going to all these camps and just took the grind to a whole new level. So
yeah. So for those that aren't familiar, pro agility, that's like 5-10-5, where you sprint 5, touch, sprint 10, touch, and then sprint the last 5 all the way through. At a lot of these camps and combines, if you touch like your inside hand, you can't have two hands on the ground at one time. And that's kind of what Reese did. And that is signaled as a DQ at a lot of these camps. So it just kind of depends on what camp you go to. But you really blew up this summer. I remember when those offers just started rolling in. Was it an enjoyable process for you getting those offers come in, or was it a little stressful? Because I know I've heard some athletes are like, man, Seth, this is so stressful. And then others be like, oh, I'm just enjoying it. You know,
yeah.
I'm sitting back and enjoying it.
You know, it was a little bit of both. I mean, like it was enjoyable having like all these coaches come to me and like want to know like about me and want to like build a relationship, because like it really made me feel special and like want to like pursue all of these different schools. But then at the same time, when there's like all of these different schools contacting you at the same time, it gets to be a lot. So yeah, it started with that Augustana visit, and then from there it just blew up. It went to pretty much the whole NSIC. You know, Wayne State, USF, just all of those guys. And then after that, I went to a St. Thomas More visit. I don't even know what got me to go there. I must have got like an invite or something. And when I was there, he was like, you know what? Like, I called you down here. I watched your film, did the eye test. Like, I want to offer you a scholarship. And that was like my first like D1 scholarship. But at the same time, it's like not a non-scholarship school. So that it was definitely very exciting. But at the same time, I wanted to get a better offer. Mm-hmm. So then I kept grinding, and then SDSU offered me, and I was out there so many times this summer. And, you know, when they gave me that offer, I was like, this is it. Like, they have so nice facilities, nice coaches. Like, the D-line coach is probably the best coach I've talked to. Mm-hmm. So after it was like that, it's like, it's kind of game over. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's usually how it works, is once you get any level or any school, Division One, once they offer you, that's when they just start funneling in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like there's levels to it. You know, you talk about the D2, you start getting all these NSIC offers, and it goes D1. And, I mean, we've seen that in the past. I mean, I remember one of our athletes in the past, he was in a COVID year, and he gets one FCS offer that he gets as soon as he got his first FBS offer. Within the span of 7 days, he had an offer per day, you know, and it just flows in like crazy. And,
yeah.
And you almost wonder what the thought process is. Like, why didn't they offer me before this? Why did I have to wait for another school to offer me? You know, and I think other coaches kind of just see that offer and they're like, well, you know what? We got to offer this kid as well.
And that's kind of how it was too. Cause once I got that SDSU offer, NDSU immediately called me like the next day asking me how I was doing and stuff. And I was like, it's kind of weird, but I mean, I guess that's how it is. And there's like a lot of kids that, you know, when they don't get that first offer and it doesn't roll, it's really like, it really sucks, because there's some kids that are just such hard workers and just don't get the attention that they deserve. So It's just really, it's just luck of the draw, I guess.
Absolutely. So Blake, I want to touch on your recruiting process a little bit. You kind of had a different journey. You know, you weren't able to go to a whole lot of camps this summer, recovering from injury after your junior year. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah, it was a really weird process, because I got one game day visit last year, which, I mean, it's the most unofficial, not by a coach visit you could go on. And so I went to Moorhead for that, and it was really nothing. So it really didn't start until... probably May. I picked up my first offer from Jamestown, and I remember, like, I'm like, these guys are not very good, but I mean, it's your first offer, so it means a lot, you know what I mean? It's just that first offer excitement.
Yeah,
and then that definitely boosted my mentality to go play college football. So I signed up right after that. I signed up for SDSU camp, because I know some of the schools that were in contact with me were going to be there. And so that was the first thing I ever did, like, full 100% on my foot, was at camp, and my test scores weren't very good, but I picked up an offer from Moorhead about a week or two after that. And then from there, I went to Northwestern, and they offered me. And then Northwestern had always kind of been the top option since then, because like every week from then, he was the first coach to text me after every game, after every, you know what I mean? Like he was their receiver coach, and he's just, we built a really good relationship throughout the football season. So I went up on my official visit, it was two Fridays ago, and I sat down with the coaches, and like I just felt like I belonged there, and the coaches were really, they're young and they got creative minds, and I just love it there. So that's kind of why I chose Northwestern.
Definitely, yeah. That was like a big thing for me too, is like if you like when you feel comfortable and like you feel like you belong and like the coaches like appreciate you, that's like a big thing that you want to be a part of. Like when you walk in and like especially if it's on like your own visit where they're going like one-on-one with you like that, like if they make you feel like every other kid, it's kind of like, you know, like what's like really going to be like when I get here. Mm-hmm. But like when they text you and like you really get personal with them and you start to learn about like their family and everything, then it's kind of just like I like this guy, like I know this guy, like I'm comfortable going in and being with this guy when I'm not with my parents. Like this is going to be my mentor for the next couple of years. So it's definitely a good feeling.
Yeah, because there's coaches that I've met throughout the recruiting process as well. And you can just, I mean, obviously they're not as interested in me as other schools, but you can just tell, like, from their body language, from how they talk, how they speak, like, going on all these different visits, you can just tell, like, who really cares about their players and who doesn't. So
definitely,
that was the biggest thing going definitely into it as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent point from both of you guys, because, I mean, you guys are still, I mean, you guys are now young adults, you know, being 18 and whatnot, but, like, when you get into college, you're 18, 19 years old, you're away from home, you want that coach there that you're comfortable with. That's that's not only going to push you on the field, but help you off the field, that you can develop that coach-athlete relationship with. So I think that's what makes you guys so incredible, is how you guys were able to like transform your bodies through all the adversity and whatnot throughout your high school journeys. What was it like to kind of that process to get your body in the right condition? I know Blake probably has a funny story here as well.
We started off by just doing all upper body workouts twice a week here, and those killed my arms, but they were good for me. And then as soon as I got that boot off, we hopped right on the bike, and about 4 weeks straight I threw up every single time. And just getting back into shape, I mean, it was not fun, but it was so worth it. And I mean, looking back at it now, I loved every moment of it, but during the grind, you're like, why am I doing this? But yeah, I mean, getting back into shape, that was tough. But
do you want to tell a story, or you want me to tell a story?
Well, why?
Oh, the first time you threw up on that bike.
I think Seth will tell it better.
Yeah, you can explain it.
So we had Blake on bike workouts, and we had another one of our athletes, Trig Otten, who's also very, very dedicated and a future college football player as well. And Trig and Blake are sitting on the bike, and I let them do their thing on their own, and I had a parent stop by, and they had like two athletes, and I was talking to this parent and these athletes, and we're just meeting in the lobby here, and all of a sudden I hear Caden, he was running the session, and he's like, what'd you do? And like I walk out, because I'm going to show these prospective clients, you know, the gym and stuff, and I see Blake pull over the trash can, and he's by the dumbbell area. So anybody that's familiar with our gym knows kind of the setup, and Blake pulls over the trash can. I knew right away, but I couldn't say anything because the parent and, you know, athletes are right there. These parent and athletes leave, and I walk over. I'm like, Blake, what happened? And you can see him just cleaning up his vomit on the floor. And I've never had an athlete in my 3 to 4 years of doing this, never had an athlete throw up in the actual gym itself. You know, I've had it in the bathroom. I've had it just outside the front door and whatnot. Blake was the first one to claim that title, throwing up in the gym. It is hilarious how Blake's sitting there rolling on the ground, and the bike workouts are, you know, for those that have done them, are brutal.
Yeah.
And Trig's sitting there pedaling, and Blake's supposed to be timing Trig, and Trig just keeps going and going and going, and Trig's like, what's the time? And Blake's like over there just hacking it. So we got a nice little video of Blake rolling on the ground, throwing up on the ground.
I remember he was like, I think we were doing like, I think it was in reps of 10 seconds or something like that, and he was at like 35. Like he was triple the time he was supposed to be at. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I'm like,
That was a good moment, but you know, I think that also echoes over to Reese too, is kind of how he gets his body in the right condition, because I know he has a couple stories as well. Actually, one just recently. And ironically, Trigg's like the mutual guy here that's always in these sessions.
Trigg's controlling it. You got it.
No, you got it.
Okay, so, so when I broke my arm, I had surgery, and my arm was, I couldn't move it, I couldn't twist it, you know, I couldn't hold a dumbbell, I couldn't even, like, scratch the back of my head. So I could do stuff, but at the same time, I couldn't. So I kind of just took a little break from Boom, you know, kind of focused with the team. It wasn't a big break, it was, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah,
just while I was recovering a little bit. I ran with the team. Obviously, when you're not practicing, you're not tired, so that running at the end doesn't do as much. But, you know, I still tried to run with the team. Every Monday after film, I ran with them. So I thought I was in some decent shape. So I was like, my arm started feeling better. I could move it. I was like, yo, Seth, let's get the session going again. So we got back in the lab and started grinding again. And first day back, it was a day. I mean, it was the first hard workout that I had in a while from then. And I was doing these, it was single leg ISO squats, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. And no weight, body weight. And for 30 seconds, and I was standing there, like 15 seconds. It was, my legs were shaking, man. Like, it was like I was in the earthquake. I was asking Seth, like, what's the time? Like, it was something else.
Yeah, so before this session, I go to Reese, I'm like, Reese, are you in shape? He's like, yeah, well, I wouldn't be in shape, I've been running my practice. I'm like, yeah, that's a little different though, like, are you in actual shape? Like you were this summer, you know, before the season. He's like, I think I'm in pretty good shape. Well, halfway through the session, he's already gassed, he's, you know, drenched in sweat.
Yeah.
You know, already, you know, ready to get out. So we do these ISO holds, and it's just a nice way to bridge the gap, get some soft tissue remodeling going and whatnot. And he's over there, and we're talking about football or whatever we're talking about. Just kind of pass the time, and we're only 15 to 20 seconds in, and his leg's just shaking there, like, nonstop. And I'm sitting there talking, and he's like, Seth, what is the time? And I'm like, dude, calm down, I got you. I have it right here. That was definitely one of my favorite moments with you. And then we just had that little encounter. Blake told his little vomit story of we had Reese throw up here. Was that your first time throwing up here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had ate before or something.
Yeah.
And we look over and Reese has hands on his knees. And all of a sudden he walks outside the front door, goes jogging across the parking lot, throwing up.
Where are you headed?
The grass. I didn't want to get it like in the walkway or anything. I had something going on that I couldn't make my session during the week. So we moved it to the weekend, and it was a Sunday morning. So, you know, we woke up, we went to church, and then my mom made a big breakfast, like cinnamon rolls, like eggs, bacon, all that stuff. So I was just eating an hour out. I thought I was plenty fine. And, you know, got full, came into the workout, and I felt good, honestly. I felt good until probably, it was the second to last set that it happened on, and we just started hitting these no lockout squats, and we got done with them, and me and, who was that, Tate? No, that wasn't Tate. Who was?
Layton.
Me and Layton were standing there, and Layton goes into the bathroom, and I'm like, great, like, something's coming up. I'm just standing there, bending over, just dog tired. Trigg's unracking the weights by himself. Run outside, because I feel it. I'm sitting there, trying to get some fresh air. Doesn't work. Jog over, and here it comes. And,
so good times in the gym. But, you know, like, for those that are listening, it's not all throwing up all the time.
No, it's great times.
One example. So, I want to kind of ask you guys, it's something we kind of ask every athlete that gets on the pod, is, you know, what has your experience been like with Boom Athletics, and what kind of led you to come train here?
I really love it here. I mean, I've known kids through AAU basketball. I mean, just through simple stuff like that. And like Trigg, for example, I mean, I knew of Trigg and stuff. And then this spring, started training with him more, and we became closer and closer. And I'm just meeting more people. And I just, every time I come in here, I make a memory. And like, we're obviously going to put our head down and work, but the nice thing about it is we create these lifelong memories that, I mean, that they'll last with me forever. So just getting in here and working hard, but at the same time, creating those memories is nice. And Kale and the Lundeens led me here. And I mean, I heard of you and all that, but then, yeah, I mean, I got hurt and I'm like, I need to get in the gym when I can. And so we talked to Kale about it, and then we stopped in here and had that meeting with you. And then from there on, I've loved every second of it, work out every week, mm-hmm. even during the season. So just stay on top of everything.
Yeah. And I think for you, I mean, I've said it before on like social media and whatnot, by the time you leave for college, I think you're going to be on that top five board, you know, before you leave. I think, mm-hmm. you know, pro agility, 10 yard, maybe in vertical could be up there as well. That just shows the growth that you've had, not only as an athlete, but, you know, being here, putting the time and working to get your body in that right condition too. So props to you. So Reese, what was your experience been like?
So it's been great. I first heard of Boom Athletics when I think it was eighth or seventh grade year when I was playing Venom basketball, and Boom Athletics was actually upstairs in the gym. And, you know, I saw a little bit of it. I didn't think much of it. I didn't know who Seth was. And so that's when I first kind of heard of Boom Athletics. And then, come to find out this last summer, Blake was training here, and he's like, hey, like, we could get like a group going, like train, like, Kale and Clayton could do it too with us. And I was like, that sounds awesome. Like, sign me up. So, I got signed up, and you know, at first, like, I was a bit, I didn't know what I was walking into. So it was just, it was a workout for the first couple weeks. And then, you know, as I got more comfortable with you and just, we started building our relationship, it just has gotten better ever since, you know. Like, you come here, like, it's not like, some people, like, go and, like, dread a workout. When you come here, like, you look forward to going to Boom Athletics every week. Like you talk, like, you guys, like, have a good time when you lift. It's not just, like, sitting there lifting, like, not talking to anybody. Like, you guys have a good time, but at the same time, you guys are getting really good work in. So it's definitely like, it's probably one of the best environments that I've worked out in. Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. I appreciate that, guys. And, you know, I think you guys both touched on the hard work aspect. That wasn't just happened overnight. You guys weren't just like born with it. And, you know, it took time to kind of grow and nurture. So who have been some of the biggest influences on your guys' work ethic?
Yeah, I mean, my brother has, my older brother. He has always been, he's the one that got me started in sports. And I mean, I remember I was a fourth grader, so he would have been like a seventh or eighth grader. And I know Reese and Jackson Smythe both played BBA, and my brother started up BBA, so I'm like, yeah, let's try it out. And then a couple years before that, my brother started playing tempo soccer, so I'm like, yeah, let's try it out. And I mean, I just kind of followed what he did, and now, I mean, I'm where I'm at because of him. And I mean, he's in pharmacy school now, and he's just showing me how important like schooling is and graduating, staying on top of your grades and stuff like that. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mine would probably be my Uncle Trevor. You know, he's been my role model since I can remember. He played college football too. He played at DW, or DSU, I mean. And, you know, I watched him when I was a kid, and I just thought he was, like, Superman, like, out on the field. And I just, you know, that was, like, really a part of my love for football is because he did it. Like, he did it, I want to do it. Like, I wanted to be like him. And, you know, ever since then, like, he's, like, one of the hardest workers I know. Like, he has his own fencing businesses and out there, and he's out there every day. Like, doesn't matter if it's, like, snow on the ground where he can't feel his fingers, he'll still be out there putting fencing. So he's definitely one of my biggest people that I look up to.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, you guys both have insane work ethic. What are some of the things that you guys do on like game days to kind of get ready for that game? Like, do you guys have any rituals that you do? Maybe it's food that you eat, you know, something that you wear, or anything that you guys do to get mentally locked in?
I have a funny story about this this year for football. So before O'Gorman, I had a Qdoba Bowl, and I played really good. And so for the rest of the year, I had a Qdoba Bowl either the night before or the day before, because I get out of school pretty early. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, just waking up on time. Like, let's say, I mean, football's always at 7 o'clock. Let's say we play the Pentagon at, like, 10 a.m. I mean, you got to wake up. You got to get your body moving. You got to get a good breakfast and stuff like that. And stretching before pregame, heating your sorenesses, just stuff like that. I mean, taking care of your body is a big part. Like, and it's not even pregame stuff, too. It goes throughout the week after practice, icing hurt, like my foot, icing it, just stuff like that. So, I mean, that's what I did. And then you always got to get a little pregame dance going in the locker room, too. That usually helps the soul.
Yeah, you definitely need the music. Yeah, for football, I feel like when I'm playing football, I feel like it's more of like we're training up and getting ready the whole week up until the game. So, like, every day, like Monday through Thursday, I would pace myself and get more intense every single day until I'm like ready to go and kill somebody. So then I'd be ready to go, like locked in, and then, you know, get to the game or get to the locker room, bump to some music, turn up with the guys, and then you know, we'd have our defensive meetings, and then we'd go sit in the locker room, lock in, I'd say a prayer, and then I'd be ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. What kind of music you guys listening to?
I mean, it varies. I mean, we got to have the right guy on aux, because
there's some guys,
there's some guys that just play stuff you've never heard of before. And they're like, check out this new rap. Like, no, I want to listen to stuff. Like, I like Drake, especially before a game.
Yeah, it's like Drake,
that.
Lil Baby.
Meek Mill has some good ones, too. Yeah.
And a lot of, like, the old songs that, like, everybody knows, like Dreams and Nightmares, like Trophies. We like to listen to those, so yeah, those are some good songs.
For sure. So, looking forward to the basketball season this year, senior season. It'll start here probably when this podcast releases, the week of. What are you guys most looking forward to this basketball season and your last basketball season?
You know, I'm, now that I'm really locked in on football and I'm committed, it's going to be a fun season. You know, I'm going to make the best out of it, because this is probably going to be the last time I ever play organized basketball again in my life. So I'm going to make the best of it, you know, enjoy every moment and just really make it like enjoyable and like teach the kids below me what I know. Cause like once we're gone, we're gone. And you know, it's always good to leave a mark, like I said earlier. So, you know, I just like to go out there, have fun, make everybody laugh, have fun. But at the same time, like when we go out there, we're going to like, I want a good team. Like we're going to be in shape. We're going to be good. Like, it's just going to be a fun, but kind of like the gym, fun and hard work at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like you said, I mean, we're both committed. We're both moving on with our lives after this. And I mean, me, Reese, Jonah, and Jackson, we've been playing together since probably first grade. I mean, we've been together, so we're the only four seniors left. And just finishing out with them will mean a lot. And like, the pressure's off, but working hard and just things like that. I mean, it'll be a fun, fun year.
Mm-hmm. We always post Instagram questions for the podcast preview. Well, one of the questions we got was, who wins a 1v1 between you two?
What sport?
Basketball.
Yeah.
I'd get bodied.
you guys are like completely polar.
Yeah, it's literally night and day difference. It just depends, you know. I think we play 10 games, he wins 5, I win 5. It's just going to depend. I mean... Like, obviously me, I'm going to take Blake down in my area. I'm going to take him to the paint and just feast. But then he'll probably pull some moves on me and drive right by me, making me look slow. So I think it'll just depend.
I feel like it comes down to whoever can get that last stop. It's literally one stop will make the game. That's what it'll come down to.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, last year I shut Kale down when me and Kale went on 1v1. Shut Kale down, locked him up, so slight flex.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but what are some of your guys' goals here when you guys start entering college football and getting geared up for that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the biggest thing is to be just get out on that field, earn a starting spot, and then from there on, like, I know Northwestern's been really successful. I mean, they're going after a national championship. They're in the semis. Like, that'd be super cool to win a national championship. And I know SDSU is super successful, and they're going at one as well. Like, they have a really good shot. So that'd be cool to win championships and just have winning seasons. And I'm actually most excited for meeting new kids, because I feel like at college, you're all playing just football. I mean, they're at the NAIA level, I mean, there's going to be kids that might do track as well. I mean, stuff like that. But I feel like the college football bond will be a lot more tight, because you're with them every single day and they're all same goal. So it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah definitely. It'll definitely be different. I think I'm definitely gonna redshirt my first year at state, and I think I'm just gonna really try to develop, you know, get the strength back, because I mean this is basketball season too. I'm gonna be in the gym every day lifting with my arms, because I lost a lot of strength in my arm. I mean, you might not think so, but you lose a lot of strength quick when you don't keep working out. So I'm definitely going to try to develop more, and then, you know, work for that starting spot. It's definitely, like you said, there's levels, and at Division I, it's going to definitely be a harder level to get a spot. So it's definitely going to be a grind for that spot, but I'll be coming for it. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you two guys being on the podcast with me today and bringing it back in style. And we wish you guys the very best here this basketball season and moving forward into college and so on. A lot of life changes happening here within the next year. But appreciate you guys being on the podcast with me, and wish you guys all the best.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. It was great. Yeah. It was awesome.